Amen. Please stand with me and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're tracking right on through Peter. 1 Peter, we're in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. We closed out chapter 2 last week, picking up in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. We'll read through verse 6. If you have it, say agape.
Agape.
Hear ye the word of the Lord. It says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husband. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And we're going to use as a subject, I thought I was done with representing, but God has given us part 5 of representing, when a marriage becomes a mission field. You may be seated. When a marriage becomes a mission field. You know, we came out of the other messages on representing, being law-abiding citizens and being Christians at work, representing the kingdom of God at work. Now Peter takes us into the house, into the home, in marriage, representing God even in our marriages, And the truth be told, all we have to do is really look around, and marriages are in trouble. Marriages are in trouble. Amen. I amen myself on that one. Marriages are in trouble, not just in the world, but in the church. In the church, as I was preparing early this morning, something came across my computer as I was going over about a pastor who has committed adultery on his wife. On his wife. And from the pulpit all the way to the back door, marriages are in trouble. And God is calling his people to still represent him even in marriage. As a matter of fact, with our marriage ministry, we constantly say that our marriages ought to become an evangelistic marriage. In other words, people ought to be able to see Jesus in your marriage, in our marriages. And the world has tried to redefine, or America has tried to redefine marriage. But it doesn't matter what they do. The word of God remains forever. Nothing changes when it comes to the word of God. But God wants us to represent him even in marriage. Now, I know somebody's saying, God, doggy, he's about to talk about marriage, and I'm not married. But this message is just for you, too. I've got something in here just for you, too. As a matter of fact, even though you may not be married, you may know someone that is married. Amen. That can use the encouragement. You may have children who are headed for marriage, and you need to be able to take this word and give that to them as well. Young people in the house, I've got a word for you. It's tucked in here. Got it right in here. It's for everyone this morning. So don't get that, and don't let Satan put that in your head. Go ahead and take that thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ and get rid of that, because this message is for everyone. Amen. I can't help but notice. I better go on and say something. I can't help but notice all of these crowns that are being worn in here this morning by these sisters. Amen. They had their function the other night, the ladies' ministry, and I came in, just had a real, real brief word. They were all dressed up, had the place laid out banquet style. I mean, it was just incredible. And now they're wearing their crowns this morning. Amen. And they look really, really, really lovely this morning. Amen. You're supposed to wear that crown, because God has given you favor. Amen, amen. And so, again, they had a wonderful time on the other night. And if you're not involved in women's ministry, make sure you sign up for women's ministry. We have something for everyone here at Agape Christian Church. Amen. But let me just put this out here now before I get into the text and walk this thing out as the Lord has given it to me. In marriage, if there's physical abuse, let me just say this now and get rid of that. If there's physical abuse, you need to get out of there. I'm going to just put it out there right away. There's physical abuse, get out. Get out, get out, get out. Just get out of there. Get out of there and trust the Lord with the rest. Let me just say that now. Male or female? Some of these sisters for real. Amen. Amen. Brother, get out of there. But there's a passage of scripture. There's a passage of scripture that I want to just briefly touch on before I really get into it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the church at Corinth, that entire chapter basically is dealing with marriage. Male and female relationships. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in the early stages of the chapter that it's better to marry than to burn. If you don't have the gift of celibacy and you just can't contain yourself, the Bible said it is better to marry than to burn. All right? Now, just don't go grab somebody because you can't contain yourself. You need to go before the Lord, fast and pray, and ask God to send someone your way. Fast and pray, send someone my way. That ought to be your prayer. That ought to be your prayer if you desire to be married. You can't contain yourself. But Paul goes on, not only that, and he says, even in his singleness, he talked about himself being single. He said, I wish everybody was like me. I wish everyone was like me. I'm single. In other words, I can go wherever the Lord wants me to go, and I don't have to worry about answering to anyone. Amen, amen. I remember I was blessed with the opportunity to go to the Ukraine to do missions work over in the Ukraine. But the only problem is that my wife was pregnant with Alexandria. And I went to her and I said, you know what, baby? I got an opportunity to go to the Ukraine. She said, you ain't going nowhere. Nip that right in the bud. But Paul said, as a single, he can go wherever the Lord wanted him to go, do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And so even in your singleness, God will use you to do great things because you're not bound in marriage. But I really want to pick up in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I have it on the screen, but look what it says. He says, but to the rest I say, not the Lord. And what he meant by that, Jesus actually spoke on marriage and adultery and how one is free during his lifetime. He spoke on that, but he didn't speak on this. And so Paul says, this is what the Lord has given me. He didn't say this, but I'm saying this under the inspiration of the Spirit, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, let him not send her away. Let him not send her away. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, let her not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. Now let me just stop. That does not mean that unbelieving husband or unbelieving wife is saved. Doesn't mean that they are saved. But what he's saying is that while they are in that house, there's an opportunity for salvation because there's a saved person dwelling in that house. Are y'all with me this morning? So you got a believer and then you have an unbeliever who is in the same house, and even the children have an opportunity to be saved because one believer is in the house. That's why it's important to represent even in marriage. But look what he goes on to say. Verse 15. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. Y'all see that? The brother or the sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Now, first and foremost, don't you go marry an unbeliever. Don't marry and don't get so desperate that you just have to be married and you go marry somebody that ain't saved. Somebody that don't even know Jesus. And now you find yourself in a situation that you really don't need to be in. Understand what I'm saying? Now, if you are already in that situation and this person is an unbeliever and they say, you know what, your faith in this Jesus and this Christian thing that you're doing, I don't want no parts of it, I'm out. You know what the Bible say? Let them go. You be gentle, you be kind, but you let them go. Let them go, male or female. He says, let them go. And then he goes on and says, but how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Now, back to the scripture, back to the context. Here we go. The goal is to save or deliver that unbelieving spouse. It's to lead them to salvation in Jesus Christ. That is the goal. That is the goal. And while I'm in this, let me just say this. Now, you may be married and both of you all may be believers, but let's be real about it. There comes times where one of us ain't acting like a believer from time to time. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I know there have been times my wife looked at me and said, get thee behind me, Satan. So if we're real about this thing, if we're being genuine about this thing, listen, there come times when we just don't act like believers. And that's where the marriage has become a mission field. Amen. And God has given us his word. Whether you a believer or acting like an unbeliever, you're unbeliever or acting like an unbeliever, God has given us his word to help us deal with this. So the marriage now has become a mission field. So the first thing that he says, there are six verses. There are six verses for the wives. And one for the man. I didn't write it. All I'm doing is delivering it. Six. But let me help you out. Let me help you out because I see some women already gone sideways on me. Look, the reason there was six is because women had to deal with so much more. They had to deal with so much more than the men during that time. Women were treated like nothing during this time. And so Peter wanted them to really understand and really help the women during this time. But he goes on. The first thing I've given is all S's this morning. That's the letter this morning. The alphabet this morning is S's. If we're going to be missionaries in the marriage, if you're going to help this unbeliever become a believer, number one, women, wives, you must stay submissive. I got a sister on. Thank you, sister. The goal is to win them. And the first thing that Peter says is, look what the Bible, I'm going to read it. It says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. In the same way. What does he mean by in the same way? Well, let's go back to being law-abiding citizens. Let's go back to being Christians at work. As we submit to the authority in the workplace, what Peter is telling the wives is that wives ought to submit in the same way in the context of marriage. Really, and here it is. All it is understanding God's structure for the family. Understanding God's structure for the marriage. The man is the head. And God did that. And so wives ought to bring themselves under their husband. Now, it doesn't mean that the husband is smarter at all. Amen. It doesn't mean that he has an advantage on her. No, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. It's just God's order. And it doesn't matter about our opinion. It's his order. God ordained it that way. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. This term submit is a military term. You have to submit because of the ranking order that God established. Now, it's not just saying I'm submitting to you because the Bible says. That's the wrong attitude behind it. What he means is that it's with joy and excitement. Joy and exciting to submit to his headship as God has ordained it. As God has ordained it with joy. Not because the Bible said, I'll do it because the Bible say. No. No. That's not the right spirit, right? Voluntary, joyful, exciting submission. Listen, Genesis 3:16. Let me help y'all on this. It's right here in the scripture. Genesis 3:16b says, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. God established this. God established this. Understanding that God established this. He arranged that man will be the head. So sisters, if you have that mindset, think about it. If the man is already lost, if he already lost, you are not helping his situation by not respecting him. Because that's what it's about. It's respecting his position. At the end of the day, that's what it's about, respecting his position. And you're not helping his situation when you're not respecting him. You know, I have to check myself on this, and God convicted me on this. You know, we often say, well, you submit if he's following the Lord. Well, this scripture busted that whole thing up. It says, even if he's an unbeliever, he's not willing to hear the word of God, he's not willing to submit to the word of God, the scripture is saying, even in that situation, you are to respect his position. It's an issue of respect. It's just an issue of respect. Amen, sisters? Amen, sisters? Thank y'all. Y'all, I love y'all so much. So we have to stay submissive. And remember, you're doing it as unto the Lord. That's what you got to lock in your head. It's not it's about him this much, but it's really about the Lord. You're being obedient. The Bible said it's better to be obedient than sacrifice. Better obey than sacrifice. And so stay submissive. Stay submissive if you want to see him come to Christ. Number two, strive to speak in silence. Strive to speak in silence. Look what the text says. It says, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Won without a word. Strive to speak in silence. In other words, let your actions speak louder than your words. As a matter of fact, let me take you all the way back to what this is about. Look back at verse chapter 2. Look back to chapter 2, verse 21. Verse 21, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21b. It says, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Here it is. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Now, back to this understanding that you must strive to speak in silence. Think about it from these terms. Dealing with someone who's an unbeliever or acting like an unbeliever. The Bible says you win them when they watch how quiet you are and how you continue to respect them, even though they're acting a fool. In other words, I talked about it, learn to take it without talking. Amen. Learn to take it without talking. Amen. Sisters, I'm speaking to sisters today. Listen, and it goes beyond the marriage. It goes beyond, because we're still talking about representing Jesus Christ. Still representing Jesus Christ. We talked about it in the workplace. The boss get on your nerve. Take it without talking. Law-abiding citizens, things happen in our community, happen in our government, whatever. Learn to take it without talking. In the marriage, learn to take it without talking. Is what the Bible says. Because if you're silent, you can speak louder than when you begin to get disrespectful. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Are y'all hearing me? That is, I know you want to say something. I know it's right on the tip of your tongue. I know you feel like the Spirit is leading you to say something. But the Spirit is not going to lead you contrary to the Scriptures. Amen. And if it's going to be disrespectful, it's going to be disrespectful. Lord, please put a guard over my mouth. If what I'm about to say, Lord, is not going to honor you, shut me up. Don't let it come out, because once it's out, it's out. But he says, as he observes your chaste conduct, look, do y'all not know? Y'all know, y'all heard this passage, Proverbs 21:9. Proverbs 21:9. What's my scripture? Look what the Bible said. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Brother's on the corner of the roof, and he is happy as all get up right now. He ain't worried about a thing. Not worried about a thing. And sisters, if you will learn to take like Jesus, I mean, that's what makes Jesus special. He took it. And we're talking about being more like him, representing him. And we can win. You can win him without a word. So you must strive to speak in silence. It says, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Don't disrespect that man. Don't disrespect that man. And you're going against the word of God. Going against the word of God. So strive to speak in silence. Then number three, remain sexy but sincere. Come on now. Let's be real in here today. Remain sexy but sincere. Let me show y'all in the scripture. I'm going to go right down the text. The Bible says, and let your adornment be merely, and let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold, jewelry, or putting on dresses. Now the key word that has been placed in here is the word merely. All right. On one end, it's okay. Amen. It's okay to fix your hair. It's okay to get nice jewelry. It's okay to have nice clothes. Amen. That's one side of it. One side of it. He says, and listen. Then here we go with the singles. This is for the singles. There's a book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And one chapter in that book basically says you need to hustle while you wait. But I'm adding my own part of that. I just remember that little subtitle. Hustle while you wait. In other words, while you waiting, fix yourself up. Amen. While you are waiting, fix yourself up. Amen. My wife say, men too. Let me tell y'all something. I ain't gonna even go there. I'm not going there. Let me stay in my lanes. But hustle while you wait. Hustle while you wait. Because you don't know when God's gonna send him your way. Amen. I heard a preacher say, look, if the house need paint, paint it. Fix it up. Fix it up. And listen, oh, thank young ladies. Young ladies. Listen, dress accordingly. Young sisters, oh, young ladies, please hear me this morning. Dress accordingly because you will attract what you wear. Ooh. You will attract what you wear. Now, young men, I told you it was for everyone. Young brothers, young men, listen. Just because she's dressed up nice, don't mean she nice. Amen. Put a pin on that. I forgot something. Let me go back. Where's my little graphic? Brothers, here's the other side of it, brothers, that are married. Here's the other side of it, brothers. Let them go shopping. Can I get my next graphic up there, please? Even if you got a deal like this, even if you got to do that, even if you have to do that, do that. They got benches in the stores. I look for them every time I go so I can be comfortable waiting. Amen. But you work on it. You work on it now. It's okay. But then he says merely don't just let it be that, because the other side of it is the outward can really misrepresent what's going on the inside. And for the young men, look, just because it glitters don't mean it's gold. Young men, please hear me. Young men, I need y'all to really hear me this morning. New Edition was a group back in the day that used to sing a song called "That Girl Is Poison." I just want y'all to catch this, young men. I want you to catch it because I don't want you to get caught up looking at the outside. Can't get caught up looking at the outside. But New Edition said, "That girl is poison. She's so fly, she'll drive you right out of your mind. Steal your heart when you're blind. Beware, she's scheming. She'll make you think you're dreaming. You'll fall in love and be screaming, poison. Poison. He says, it's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find. Can't get her out of my head. Miss her, kiss her, love her. Wrong move, you're dead. Poison. Poison, poison, poison. Listen, don't get caught up in the outward. Don't get caught up in the outward, because look, he goes on to say in verse 4, he says, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Sincerity of heart, being real from the inside, beauty from the inside out. Sisters, this is what the Bible says. Now, it's one thing to decorate the outside. But there ought to be more energy, more time, effort put on decorating the inside. The Bible said this is precious in the sight of God. It's precious in the sight of God. Let me show you a scripture from the Old Testament. Exodus 33:4-6 says this. When the people heard these stern words, they went into mourning and stopped wearing their jewelry and fine clothes. For the Lord had told Moses to tell them, you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel with you for even a moment, I would destroy you. Remove your jewelry and fine clothes while I'll decide what to do with you. So from the time they left Mount Sinai, the Israelites wore no more jewelry or fine clothes. And here it is, sisters. If it's not right on the inside. And again, it's okay. Don't just stop wearing jewelry. Don't stop making yourself look good if he's unbelieving. You don't want to run him off. But my point is to really work on the inside. Really, really, really work on the inside. That's sincerity of heart, being genuine, being real. And what's on the inside will work itself out. On the outside, it will work itself out on the outside. So seek to be beautiful from the inside out. Here's the final point. Shadow seasoned spiritual sisters. Learn to shadow seasoned spiritual sisters. Look what the text says. It says, for in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Like the old women, seasoned sisters, and here it is. Gave an example of Sarah. Sarah called Abraham Lord. I'm going to come stand right here. Sarah called Abraham Lord. Why so quiet on this row up here? She called him Lord. In other words, she respected his position. But can I tell y'all something? This is why it's so important. This is so important to respect his authority and his covering in your life. Do you not know Sarah overheard a conversation with Abraham and God when God was telling Abraham that they were going to have a son? And do you not know Sarah laughed? It's in Genesis chapter 18. Sarah laughed, and I want y'all to catch my point. When she laughed, God asked Abraham, why did she laugh? Are y'all with me? Listen, God could have killed her right then, but she had a covering. And God went to the covering. That's why it's important to respect that covering. Listen, Zipporah. Because he's saying model, shadow the women of old. Moses was being a knucklehead. He was acting like an unbeliever. God told him to circumcise his son. And Moses forgot to do it. He forgot to do it. But his wife, Zipporah, she did it. And she threw the foreskin at him. It's in the Bible. But listen, God was about to kill him. But she covered him. She respected her husband. She didn't leave him exposed. And so the Bible has said, you need to follow the women of old. Now, listen, here it is. We've talked about the Naomi Project here at the church, where the older teach the younger. Where the older teach the younger. And listen, there are senior, seasoned, spiritual sisters right here in this church that have experienced marriage for years. They've got some years underneath their belt. And young ladies, young sisters, you need to be able to go to them. Are y'all with me this morning? They've got some things that they can teach you. They've got some things that they can show you. Now, look, I know without a doubt, I've been married 23 years. Now, I know without a doubt that those that have 40 plus years of marriage will tell you that it was always good. It wasn't always good. There were some rough times during those marriages. If you sit down with them and just let them talk to you about some things, learn from them. Don't be so quick to run and bail out, but just sit underneath somebody and let them pour into your life. They'll tell you some things. And you've got to have a heart that's receptive to that. Amen. That's what the body of Christ is for. Walking around here by yourself, not talking to anybody, trying to deal with these life issues in marriage. There are people that God has brought through some stuff. God has brought through some stuff, and they can tell you some things if you would just sit down and talk to them. Sit down and talk to them. Look, the scripture says this, Titus 2:3-5. It says, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. Now, let me just say this, because Titus said it, and I just need to say it. Older saints, seasoned saints, sisters, Titus just said, and I'm repeating what he just said, is that your conduct has to be in such a way so that the younger generation will feel comfortable talking to you. So they'll feel comfortable talking to you. You can't be living any kind of way, talking, gossiping, drinking, and all this, and say, baby, let me tell you something. Now, you may have the knowledge to share something, but they're not hearing anything you have to say because of the lifestyle. And so you want to have a listening ear. You don't want anything interfering with what God wants you to share with that young person. Amen. But he says, look, these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. Not bring shame on the word of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sitting under those seasoned spiritual saints. And y'all, it's my heart's desire that we get this. That we get this. Because we represent Jesus Christ. Amen. Even in our marriages. Even in our, God hates divorce. Yes, he hates it. That's how he feels about it. And we just got to, we have to work at this thing, sisters, brothers. We have to work at this thing. It's not easy. It is not easy. It's easy to quit. It is so easy to just walk away. Jesus didn't walk away. I'm trying to be more like him. He didn't walk away. He took the nails. He stayed there. And we're to become more like him. We're to become more like him. And that's what it's about. And if we can get that even in marriage, if I want to be like Jesus, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down. I'm going to love just like he loved me. Unconditionally. Amen?